Hey, this is Stan Gibbons, the lead pastor of Northside Bible Church. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. We hope this strengthens and inspires you. We want to encourage you in your relationship with Christ. If there's anything we can do, please reach out to us at northsidemobile.org, or you can message us on Facebook and Twitter. Enjoy the sermon. Don't worry, be happy. We're going to solve the happy issue with joy, so we take it to a spiritual level. But I want you to hear Psalm 46 today as the start of our series. And I got a weird way to start a series called Don't Worry. And it's to tell you how bad everything is, right? Give you the bad news first. 2020 is just the beginning of who knows what. We got so many people that are saying, you know, boy, as soon as this election's over, everything will calm back down and go back to normal. I don't think there is a normal in the world. I don't think the world has a normal, and I don't see things getting better, but worse. And I don't care who you vote for. I do care who you vote for, but it doesn't matter who you vote for. Evil is evil, and sin is rampant, and our world is rapidly denying the things of God and turning towards man as its own source of help. And I just want you to know that there are promises in the Bible that can keep you from panicking through all of that. According to the World Health Organization, suicide occurs somewhere in the world every 40 seconds. So while we sang that last hymn, you'd get about 5 suicides. You think about that? 5. Somewhere in the world every 40 seconds. 132 Americans daily commit suicide. 132 daily. That's the latest stats, by the way. They just came out a few weeks ago. 1.4 million Americans will attempt suicide. Johnny Gaston last night showed us a scar on his arm. Said he has a lot of other scars that he can't show you, where he tried to take his life multiple times. He grew up right here in this city, right under the steeple of a good church, and had no hope for a long period of his life. So suicide rate among active duty military, I just heard this last week and it sort of alarmed me, but the active duty, not off duty, active duty military suicide rate is up 30% this year. And they're saying somehow it's related to the missions they've taken offline because of COVID and other things that are got the soldiers' brains sort of in a cloud and a fog. My point is, telling you all that good, happy news, don't worry, is that this world and this culture and this city and even your family is filled with, there are people who are battling hopelessness everywhere. And I mean everywhere. There are people battling hopelessness and despair. People that don't know what to do with all the bad news they watch every day. They live for news feeds and social media feeds, and nothing seems okay, and nobody's telling the truth anymore, and who can you trust? And so that there's all this fear that comes just terrorizing into a person's life and heart. And here's what we're going to say today. If you're a follower of Christ, and I think most everybody here I know pretty well, you're a serious follower of Christ, you have the answer. And you have the hope. So the people that are nearest you do not need to struggle with this hopelessness. They do not need to struggle with fear and anxiety and worry. And all that's on the rise. But here's what Psalm 46 says. Let's turn there together. Psalm 46. I think you're going to love this. I taught a short lesson on it right after COVID hit on a Wednesday night, sitting in here with my computer and Michael. And we did it on Facebook, I think. But Psalm 46 says this. Everybody there? You really want to mark these words now. It is on YouVersion, by the way. YouVersion app. We've got our notes up today. So here's what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Just going to start that over. I could really just stand here and say it for like the next 10 minutes and send you home if you just register really what it says. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear, though the earth should change. What? And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. What is happening? Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake in its swelling pride. Selah. Pause. The musical pause, most people believe. Psalmist is like, hey, let's just think on that for a minute while we play some instruments. God is our refuge. Doesn't matter if the earth collapses. God is our refuge. There is a river, verse 4, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. City of God, focus. God is in the midst of her, the city. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered and raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Pause. Think about that. The earth melted. The Lord is our stronghold. Pause. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has wrought desolation in the earth? He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving. Some translations just say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strength, our stronghold. Pause. So here's what I want you to hear today. Three things. God is our help. God is our help. It's plural on purpose. God is our help. God is our stability. And God is our strength. You hearing me? Everybody look this way. God is our help. He is our stability, and He is our strength. Why on earth do we live in some sort of panic, a fearful moment when we have this truth right in front of us? The text says He's our help for now. I want you to see this. God is our refuge and strength, verse 1, a very present help. David knew that it was important for the body of believers that worshiped in the temple to see it corporately. So, by the way, God is your help personally. My initial slides said, God is my help. God is my help. But that's not what the text says. But it's still true. God is your personal help. If you're isolated somewhere and you can't get around a bunch of believers, which is really unhealthy for you, you need to chase that down as hard as you can. But if you're living in isolation, He's still your help, right? He's your personal help. Tons of verses that cover that. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, right? John chapter 10, Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know me. Well, it's very personal. This is corporate. God is ours. Listen to me, Northside. He's our helper. We don't have to panic over anything because He is our helper. He is our help. It's important to know that He is our refuge and our strength. I want you to see those words. He's the refuge and strength of those that follow Him. The word refuge means a place of safety. Now, in that day, you needed a physical refuge from a physical enemy. There were armies attacking all the time, and you needed a physical place of refuge. And the city of David and the place where Israel grew was the place of safety. But they said that God dwelt in the midst of that city. You're going to see that in the next section. God dwells in the midst of that city. But a refuge is a place of safety. Now, here's what I want you to hear today. God is your personal safety and our corporate safety any way you need Him. If you need emotional safety, if you feel emotionally unsafe, like something's going on in me and I can't figure it out, and you need to run to a place of safety, guess who you need to run to? God. If you need spiritual safety, you're like, man, I'm just so confused about what's happened spiritually. Run to God and let Him speak truth from His Word and sort that out with you. He is our spiritual safety, our relational safety. He is your emotional safety. He's all the safety you need. If you live in unsafe relationships, build one with Him and stick to it and follow His instructions and all those other ones that will be solved. I promise He will fix all of that because He is our refuge. He's the place you can run to for safety. And then it says he's our strength. And that word has to do with refreshing, and renewing. It means God renews and refreshes us. God will refresh your strength. Isaiah says it this way, they that wait on the Lord, Here's a bad American problem. We aren't good at waiting, right? I mean, we have, you know, Chick-fil-A's gone to 3 lanes in my neighborhood, so you don't have to wait. I mean, there could be 40 cars in front of you, and you're just going to go almost hardly stop moving. They just do a great job because they don't want you to wait, because we don't like to wait. But here's what happens in Isaiah. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The Hebrew word there means wait. They that wait on the Lord. Not panic, not whine, not try to explain to the Lord what He should be doing for you. You ever do that in your prayers? Lord, let me explain this to you, how you ought to be helping me. I got an idea, Lord. Here's what you're not understanding, Lord, right? All that. That's not this verse. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You want your strength renewed? Wait on the Lord. You'll mount up with wings as eagles and you'll soar. How do you do that? Well, you wait on the Lord. The Lord Himself is our strength, right? He's going to give us strength. I want you to raise your hand today if God has refreshed you when you were in a time of trouble, panic, discouragement, like this is talking about. Maybe not a volcano or an earthquake, whatever it's talking about here. But if God has refreshed you in a time of trouble, like strengthened you, raise your hand. Everybody look around. That's all of us. God's refreshed us. So the text is actually true, right? I'm not making this up. David did just write a cute little song for the Israelites to sing. It's not just a fun little ditty. Oh, God is our strength. No, He really is your strength. He's your refuge and your strength. And He will help you when you need help. So it also says, and this is the best phrase to me in the whole psalm, so please make a note of it if you want to. He's a very present help right now is what it means. Present now. God is now help. Now, I want to take you to a quick story. I'm trying not to get long-winded here. I want to take you to a quick story in John chapter 11 where Mary and Martha send word to Jesus a day and a half away. Hey, the man, our brother that you love very much, he's sick. Could you please come help him? He's sick, really bad sick. And Jesus stays there and lets Lazarus die. He could have got back easily. Lets Lazarus die. And then he returns 4 days later, right? Now, Mary and Martha would almost argue he wasn't very present for us. We sent word to him. He was only a day away. He never showed up. That's what they would almost argue. Here's the problem with that argument. He did show up when it was time. Because if they would have just waited on the Lord, wait. But Lazarus is dead, and you said to the servant, his sickness is not unto death. Son of God be glorified. Well, his sickness is not unto death. It's only going to look like death for a few days till Jesus gets to the grave and solves it. You understand that God had a plan all along. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and He is a very present help right now. So when you send a prayer to Him and He doesn't answer it and it seems like it's flat, don't think He's not paying good attention. Jesus is literally waiting in the wings for the right day to show up on that hillside and go, hey, Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man walked out of a grave and lived with his sisters for years longer. And I almost think Jesus came back and visited a few times later and went, see, I told y'all. Told you. Just wait. Right? He's a very present help now. The intention of this verse is that it's now, but the Hebrew word is beautiful because it means exceedingly helpful. The tense of this verb is, you almost can't put the right superlative in front of it. It's extremely, exceedingly helpful. We have a president that's fantastic with his superlatives, right? Everything the president says is, you know, it's unbelievable, it's magnificent, you know, it's extremely, it's fantastic. He's got all these big superlatives he uses. That's this word, by the way. And it's not about the president or his cabinet and his administration. You know what? It's about God. God is an extremely good helper. He's exceedingly good at helping right now. Are y'all owning this? That's what this verse says. God is our refuge and our strength. He's extremely good helper. I mean extremely good. You ever have people help you move? You ever have people show up and help you move? There's a couple of kinds of people that show up to help you move. Those that want to watch you move, right? Maybe make sure nobody dies of thirst in the move. And then those that don't mind carrying furniture, you know, and however long it takes. When we moved from Birmingham down here to Mobile back in 2000, we had a host of college friends, my college students and people I built ministry with for 14 years show up and pack our big truck and make it all happen. It was awesome. And, we had, you know, little kids, so we had toys out the, we had more stuff in the attic than we had anywhere else. And, you know, one of my guys was like, what is all this stuff in the attic? Like, I don't know. We're just pack rats, you know, we just got everything. But we packed, you know, tools and, I mean, everything, and furniture and loaded on these big vehicles. But then there's this one guy. Here's what he said. He goes, man, I'm going to hook a U-Haul to the back of my truck, a trailer, and I'm going to load it down with whatever else there's always leftovers that don't fit in the truck. I'm going to bring a U-Haul, and I'll just follow you down, and I'm going to help you unload. Extremely good help. You understand what I'm saying? There's help, and there's extremely good help. Y'all know what that looks like, right? All of it, don't name your friends, but y'all have friends like that. They show up, you know. I think of men's work days at churches. Kendall and I have been to 1,000 of those where you show up for work day on a Saturday and it's a men's work day, right? And there's this guy that shows up before anybody's here. He's in the parking lot waiting on the door to be open. You know, first guy with the key lets him in and he's off and running, man. He's working, working, working. By 9 o'clock, he's worked up a sweat. Then there's this other guy that shows up at, you know, about a half hour before he knows lunch is going to be served. You know, ask what he can do to help, piddles around, meets with people, fellowships really well. He's good at fellowshipping, right? Good at keeping everybody from working while he's talking. Eats, enjoys the lunch, and then, oh, he has to go somewhere. He's got somewhere to go. Meanwhile, other guys, you know, late to lunch because he was underneath some, you know, toilet or working on something and fixing something, and then he comes in there dusty and ready to eat his lunch, and he goes, hey, right after lunch, I got to leave for a minute. And you go, oh, yeah, right. And he goes, no, I got to go up to the hardware store and get some more parts. I found something else we can fix. Which one of those is helpful? Who do you think God's like? He's the one that shows up ahead of time with all his resources and tools ready to help you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. It's literally in the language of this verse, it's helpful beyond words. Extremely, exceedingly helpful. Would you just testify to me with a raised hand? You know what that means, that God is extremely helpful to you. Not a little helpful. Not like, well, he kind of helps sometimes. No. Why do we keep that such a secret? Shame on us. We got to give that testimony out. He is help for the crisis, verse 2. Here's this crazy crisis happening in verse 2. Therefore, declaration, we will not fear. If all of that we just talked about is true, extremely helpful, refuge and strength. All that's true. We don't need to fear. Well, yeah, but there's this volcano and this earthquake and a mountain slid into the ocean right over the hill. Shook our homes. Things fell. Right. Go back to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. We will not fear, no matter what happens, earthquakes, volcanoes, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though storm after storm comes into the gulf, the mountains quake at its swelling, we will not fear because God is extremely good help for us in the crisis. He's extremely good help for you in the crisis. So whatever the crisis is, for them it's physical earthly land things happening, right? Now, I want to ask you this. We all have friends that are better at helping in crisis than not helping in crisis, don't we? We all have people you can count on in a crisis, and then people that say they're going to be there, but they're not going to be there. Just think about God for a minute, and let me tell you this. Whatever your crisis, He is going to be there. He tells the people of Israel in Isaiah, when you pass through the waters or the fire, I am with you. He's extremely good help, and He's right there for us. He is helping the crisis, and He's helping the now. That's God. God is our help. Would you say that with me? God is our help. Ready? God is our help. Can you say it and emphasize the word our so I feel better, like you're understanding me? God is our help. Collectively. Boy, this church has got a lot of financial needs. This church has a lot of challenges. We got a lot of stuff we need to do to help grow. Okay. Here's what I know. God is our help. We just have to depend on Him and trust in Him. And we need to follow along with the end of the chapter, the end of this chapter. So we'll see that in a second. Now, God is our stability. Verse 4 and 5 talks about the stability, and it uses the picture of a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, the focus of this section is that phrase, city of God, which is the holy dwelling place of the Most High, where God dwells. God lives in the midst of that, verse 5. She, the city, will not be moved. By the way, that's your future home. Your future home's that stable. Nothing's ever going to move it. And you're invited in all through the New Testament to live in this place with Jesus that He says, I'm going to go to my Father's house and build you a room, build you a home in heaven, so that where I am there you may be also, John 14, right? God is in the midst of it. This is a picture of a river whose the rivers were very valuable and important to the Hebrews. Kendall probably has a great study of that coming out of Genesis, but the rivers that surrounded the holy city, the promised land, very powerful. Water, very precious commodity, can't live without it. And the truth is, cities in that day were built around the rivers. If they weren't, they could easily be overrun and somebody could destroy them because you could just cut off their water supply, whatever that was. So the river of God is in the midst of our city. It's saying to us, the city where we're going to live forever has a river of God flowing right down the middle of it. John chapter 7, Jesus says in verse 37, on the last day is a great day of the feast. Jesus stood and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the sustenance and the life-giving water that comes, that's dwelling in the city of God, that's part of the city of God that we will live in eternally, can actually be put in you now. It can flow from you, that same life-giving sustenance. God is our extreme helper, and He's our stability because that river gives tons of stability to this city. It's a picture of the holy city. And the idea is God's going to take care of us in a place that cannot be moved. You understand He's going to put you in a place that can't be shaken? You say, well, where I live now can be shaken. Okay. This is temporary. All of this is temporary. You have an eternal home that cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. Revelation 22, verse 1. John the Beloved is an old man now on the Isle of Patmos seeing these visions from God. He says, then God showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God. So when John envisions the dwelling place of God, the angels, the heavens show him this river that's flowing from the very throne of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river was a tree of life bearing, I love this, 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. A tree that bears 12 kinds of fruit. Can't wait to see that tree, by the way. Can't wait to eat fruit off that tree. That's got to be awesome. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and in the throne and the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in it. And His bondservants, that's us, we will serve Him. They will see, we the servants will see His face. His name will be on our foreheads. There will no longer be any night. They will have no need for light of a lamp, nor light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them. And look at this phrase. They will reign forever and ever. That's the city of God pictured in Revelation. Same picture in Psalm 46 that says there's this river that flows through the city of God that is so stable it will never, ever, ever, ever be shaken. God is our stability. Everybody got it? God is our stability. Will you say that? God is our stability. We're going to emphasize the word our. God is our stability, right? So God is my help. He's my stability. And now the text says, verse 6, God is my strength. Use the word stronghold several times. The nations, it says in verse 6, the nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. So nations and kingdoms are in an uproar. And by the way, when that happens anywhere in the world, when some nation rises against another nation and all of the news media turn to it, everybody goes into a panic. Oh, it's World War III. It's World War IV. Oh, it's the end of the world. It's the end of times because people are at war with each other. Jesus said we're going to have wars and rumors of war all the time, by the way. But the nations in this text, the nations are making an uproar. It's a Hebrew word that's very strong. They're like really uproar. The kingdoms are tottering. Nations are falling. And then look what it says. He, God, raised his voice and the earth melted. He just solved it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our strength. Come behold the works of the Lord. Who has wrought desolation in the earth? What did he do? Well, he made wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He broke the bow, cut the spears, burned the chariots. He took care of all of it. So here's what the text is saying. When God decides it's time, he can just stop all the wars. Just stop them all. Isaiah says that every nation is a drop in the bucket. A drop of water in a bucket. That's what a whole nation is like to God. We are the most powerful nation in the world, as far as I understand. I know there's Russia and China, and they got some pretty powerful stuff too, but we're pretty big bad boy in that world, right? You know what we are to God? Big old, brave, strong, tough America. You know what we are? A drop in a bucket. There is nothing in the kingdom of God, nothing that God is not afraid of, or that God is afraid of, and God cannot overcome for us. And this text is actually saying, he is our strength and our stronghold. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He makes wars to cease. Now, some scholars believe he's referring to a battle. You can look at it in 2 Kings 19, the battle with Sennacherib, a nation that rose up against Israel, and there was all this fear about what was about to happen, and then overnight, literally these groups of people that had gotten together, these multiple countries that had gotten together to attack Israel, God actually says this in the text. God started a rumor among them that they were going to fight with each other, that one nation was really not going to do what he said he was going to do, and they all got freaked out, no honor among thieves, they all got freaked out, and overnight killed each other. The multiple armies that were coming against Israel overnight, they all killed each other. And when Israel got up the next day, they were like, where is everybody? Well, they're all laying in the field dead. All of the armies are. And some people believe this is that reference to that, where it just goes, God's going to break their bows, break their spears, set their chariots on fire. We don't even need to respond except for verse 10. Here's what it says in verse 10. Stop striving and know, be still, and know that I am God. If you want this strength that's in this text, you're going to have to choose to know God personally. I see people that declare themselves to be Christians all the time that have no peace in their life. They struggle with all kinds of worry, and yet they declare themselves to be strong in their faith. But if you're strong in your faith, this text says, stop striving. Relax. Now, I'm not saying people can't have anxiety, and there's obviously medical reasons for that, and there's chemical reasons for that, and issues that people struggle with. But I'm saying for the average person, if you are panicked about this upcoming election, I read all this stuff. I read all these people's posts about, you know, what are we going to do if whatever happens? I'm like, God is our refuge and strength. What are you worried about man's stuff for? This is not about man. It's all about God. God is with us, and he is our strength. And this text is a call to relationship with him. Verse 10, cease striving, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. You know that every nation that we worry about, every nation you fear, every nation our country goes to war with or whatever, And our nation itself, one day, every single knee will bow to Him. Every single knee is going to bow to Him. Right? So, this is a call to relationship. Listen, if everybody on the planet would just obey verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. If everybody would get a personal relationship with God going, you know it would end all strife? If everybody was walking with the Lord in that concept, it would end all strife. It would end all wars. Relational wars. It would end all divorces. It would end all relational strife in families if people would cease striving and personally know God as their protector, healer, savior, helper, the one they can turn to, and the one that has made stability for them for the rest of their life. The Lord of hosts is with us, it concludes. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So how do I access this strength? The word stronghold has been used twice in this text, and it's about strength. How do I access strength? Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my... So strength comes from joy, right? Joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, how do I get that strength? I'm so glad you asked. How do I get that strength? Some of y'all should be able to repeat this because I say it all the time. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. You should write it in your notes. John 15 is where the strength comes from. Jesus said, if you abide in me and obey my words, I will fill you up with my joy. You will be filled with my joy, the joy of Jesus, not man's joy, the joy of Jesus. Well, what is joy? Joy is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How do I get strength? I obey. When I obey the Scriptures, when I obey the Scriptures and the words of God and the things Jesus instructs me to do, I get strength. And it's the strength to endure anything. Mountains falling into the ocean, nations rising against nations, weird people being elected, whatever all that is, I get the strength to endure it all with no panic. And I actually am at peace with Him. I am stopping my striving because I know that. Listen, Jesus died on the cross so you and I could have this life of Psalm 46. Jesus died so we would have an abundant life filled with joy, filled with hope, filled with stability, and filled with strength, and filled with help. That's why Jesus went to the cross, is to give you help, to give you hope, and to give you strength. It's not so you could have a life of panic. It's not so that you would live in with frets and worries every day at every news clip that comes across the screen. He died to give you a joy-filled, abundant life. So here's what I want to tell you as a conclusion. God is our help. God is our stability. And God is our strength. Right? And you just, we need to know that. And I don't mean like, oh yeah, I know. I mean like, no. Like, no question in my mind. So we're going to read that sentence, not that this we must know, but just above that. We're going to read it together, and we're going to emphasize the pronoun in there. Ready? Together. God is our help. God is our stability and our strength. He is. He is. Do you agree with me? Listen, if you agree, relax. Don't get all worked up when you get home and watch the news this afternoon and so-and-so said such-and-such is a liar. And so-and-so said no, such-and-such is a liar. And this is going to happen. And oh, if this happens, then we're all going to be that. And we're all going to be socialist and communist. And the world's going to be over. And, okay? Come on, people. We are people of God. We're not people of this world. We're not bound by the rules of this world. We're bound by the promises of God. And He says, I am your refuge and strength. I'm a very present, exceedingly, exceedingly good helper for you right now. Don't you dare panic. Live with hope. Live with joy. Live with the abundant life that God promised us. And we will all be able to testify of how people are going to ask you, how in the world are you dealing with all this? And you're going to point to the cross in your life and go, man, Jesus died on the cross, saved me from my sins, and my life is all about Him now. I don't live here. I'm a citizen of heaven that's stable. Heaven's never moving. It's never going to move. That's my citizenship. So I don't have to worry about this. Paul says for me to live as Christ, to live as Christ, to die is gain. It doesn't matter to me. Live or die, I don't care. I'm stable. We've got to be that testimony, and it's your turn. As our culture gets crazier and crazier, and I think this next month's going to get crazy, right? More, you know, riots, and I understand they found some more murder, actually found some murder hornets in America. Ooh, you know, what are we going to do? Right? As all this stuff goes crazy, what are you going to do? Man, just testify. God is my refuge and strength. He's a very present help. I want you to tell the person that's in panic, I want you to have that strength. I want you to have that hope. Don't worry about this stuff. Build this relationship and it'll all be fine. Amen? Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to sing and I'll make a few announcements. Father, we truly need your help to claim this promise and actually bury it into our spirit and soul and heart and mind so that we stop striving and know you are God, very God. Thank you for being an exceedingly good helper, person that shows up with all the resources and all the help we need. You show up at the right time and you always do the right thing. And Lord, forgive us where we've panicked and gone ahead of you or not waited properly. But I thank you that you're our help, that you're our stability, and that you're our strength. And I pray we would testify of that this very week to people in our culture, to people in our friendships, to people in our families. Help us testify. We want you to be magnified, lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.